In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is both fully human, fully man, and at the same time, fully God, he always begins by appealing to our humanity. He begins by appealing to the highest level of our ability to understand things as human beings. And then he draws us to himself and raises us up to be able to understand things through him, things that we can only understand because we are called to be like God. Because to be a human being is not just to be a person of this world. To be a human being is also to have the longing to be like God. And so when he draws us to himself, he draws us up to the high level of his own divinity so that we might share his divine life and have our lives as human beings in this world fulfilled. That is his method. And we can see him about that work of teaching and drawing us toward him in these passages that we've just heard from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Unfortunately, many times that's missed. The first things that Jesus says, those things that we ought to be able to understand simply as human beings, are the words, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Some people think that's the essence of the Christian moral teaching. It's not. It is basic human decency. If we fall below that level, then we fall into the level of barbarism, hatred, conflict at all times in all places. The understanding that others are our enemies simply because they are not ourselves. Social chaos, if we fall below that level. Confucius understood this in the 6th century BC, fully the words that Jesus is beginning with. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To do that is simply to be a human being. To live in a way less than that is to live like a beast. And so he begins with an appeal to our basic humanity. But he goes beyond that. The Christian way of life is the love of enemies. The love of enemies. Not merely just doing unto others as you would be fine to have them do unto you, but the love of enemies. The love of those who spitefully use you. That is, the love of those who use you like some kind of a resource, as though you were not a human being. Those who deal with you as though you were an object rather than a human being. Those who dishonor you. Those who despise you. Those who set themselves against you. Love them, Jesus says. And you will be children of the Most High, sons of the Most High. That isn't something that you find just anywhere. In order to be able to love in that kind of way, in order to be able to be transformed at the deepest level, we have to ascend to communion with God through Christ. When he's teaching, he encourages people to make that movement. At the Divine Liturgy, we come together and we make that movement together. We come together, we leave the love of the world as our first love behind, and we begin to ascend to an affirmation of our love of God and our desire to be like him. That's the nature of the Christian faith. And the things that stand in our way, those are our vices. The things that are not virtues, are not like Christ. Those things that bind us to the less than human and the less than divine. In his letter to Colossians, St. Paul gives two lists of vices, two different kinds of vices. The first list of vices are vices that the pagans knew about, the Greeks knew about, the ancient Chinese knew about. Wise people devoted to a moral and ethical life had always known about them and have had ways of developing a strength of character and discipline to deal with them. But the second level of vices, like the two levels of appeal that Christ makes to us, has to do with our inner transformation, the transformation of our soul. The first list of vices are what can be called the reactive vices. Those temptations that we simply react to without thinking about them. Only discipline can deal with them. And traditions of moral and ethical discipline throughout the world have devoted themselves to that kind of work. On that list, that first list of St. Paul's, are things like covetousness, the desire to acquire, the desire to have and make something mine. And also lust is on that list. If we love the world more than God, if we love the things of the world more than the highest calling within ourselves to be like God, then those things will be automatic in us. They follow from our affirmation of our love of the world. Sometimes we wonder how we can be so good at doing certain things. It just seems to come to us naturally. The things that we desire, we acquire. The things that our heart desires more than anything else, we gather them together during the course of our lives. Because everything about us is oriented toward having those things. Having good things of the world, or having wealth, or having fame, or having the ability to play the guitar or some instrument, the ability to impress others, whatever it happens to be, whatever our heart desires, we don't have to intentionally set our mind on the accomplishment of some things because we have a reactive system that deals with whatever comes along in such a way that in the end we have what our heart desired. And if we desire the things of the world more than anything else, then gradually we gain them. We may not have the wisdom or the spiritual balance to be able to deal with them, but we gain them, whatever our heart desires. But the second level of vices that St. Paul lists are different. They have to do with the deep qualities of our soul, things that we may not even be aware of. And there we're in the realm of those things that need to be dealt with and changed if we are going to be able to live as Christians. To love our enemies, to love God more than the world, and to see our inner lives changed. Sometimes when we read the spiritual fathers, John Climacus and others, they will say that for the things that we are trying to control as far as the ways that we act in the world that are unlike Christ, there is always a root reason, something that needs to be dealt with deep down. And that second list has to do with those things deep down. That list of vices includes anger, wrath, many other things, but that's good enough to identify the kind of thing that we're talking about. Instead of being reactive vices, they are vices that lie deep down inside of us, quiet most of the time, like a den of snakes, until they're stirred up. And then suddenly, there is a fury of anger and wrath that shocks and surprises us ourselves. We would never have thought that we were capable of that kind of anger, that kind of response. We who are Christians and who are called to be humble, we have to deal with that second level of vices. We can't just let them on their own quiet down there, pretending they don't exist. We have got to deal with them. And the antidote to every single one of them is the same. It is humility. The acquisition of humility is something that doesn't come by the simple matter of the discipline of our will. The spiritual fathers says that if we are humble, we will seek out situations where we are dishonored. Who amongst us would seek out a situation where we are dishonored? The truly humble person is able to deal with things like that. And we have to learn by struggling against our anger in the face of not being dealt with as we would like to be dealt with. We have to confront that and move beyond the anger and bitterness. There's only one way. Anger and bitterness are the darkness, and the light is humility. Just as the darkness flees the light, anger and bitterness flee humility. Humility is something that the devil is incapable of. He will feed our anger. He will feed our wrath and glory in that anger, because anger is what he's all about. But if we can fight our way through to pray to God sincerely for humility, we can overcome that serpent that generally lies quiet, the bottom of our soul. St. John gives us insight into the nature of our inner lives when he tells us that there are steps, stages to dealing with spiritual life in this way. Practical things that need to be done. Not understood, but done. The first stage, he says, is to keep the lips silent when the mind is filled with things that ought not to be said. And the second stage, he says, is to keep the thoughts quiet when the heart is uncomfortable. To keep thoughts quiet when the heart is uncomfortable. When the center of our being has been stricken. The third stage, he says, is to maintain calm in the midst of winds that are unclean. Unclean winds. A spirit of unclean desire to lash out in anger. Those are the three stages. And then is when he gives us that key. All we can do is desire humility, to desire not to be imprisoned inside of ourselves by all of this anger and all of this wrath. Prayer alone won't do it, he says. He says we cannot outpray the devil. The devil is constantly vigilant. Constantly vigilant. There is not one moment when he lacks vigilance. And so vigilance in prayer, it won't cut it. It's not good enough. Prayer and fasting, we are told, deal with our spiritual difficulties. Fasting won't do it. The devil doesn't eat. We can't outpray him. We can't outfast him. But there is one thing that the devil cannot do. He cannot be humble. In the end, humility is our single and only way of dealing with anger, with wrath, and with being at the mercy of those things that no human being, by way of their own will, can deal with at the base of our soul. In order to be like Christ, we have to desire his humility. In order to be like Christ, we have to desire to be able to be humble enough to love with the love that he loves with. It isn't a love of this world. It is a love that is born out of humility. And that's why Jesus says, those who lend to those that they know that they will gain a return from have no spiritual benefit. Give to those that you know will not return what you are giving. When we are humble and loving, we are giving to those that we know will not return our love. Love your enemies. We can't love our enemies. We can't even love those that we are having difficulty with, who aren't really our enemies, but may only temporarily seem like our enemies because of our anger and our wrath. We can't love either one of them without humility. We have to become wise enough to know that that's where the answer lies. We have to become wise enough to know that even in the midst of our anger and struggle, that is where the answer lies. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, help me to become an instrument of your peace. Give me your humility that I might love others with the love that you have for me and for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.